Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Bridge Millennial Podcast. If this is your first time joining us, the Bridge Millennial Podcast is the shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. I am Shannon Ashlea, and we back. What's up, Rob?
We out here in these podcast streets. I'm so proud of us. We brought our visions and our dreams into the new year, okay?
That's called manifestation.
That's what it is, period. We put a little salt on it. We saucy right now. But yeah, I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be back recording. I miss you, Jane. I feel like I didn't see you in a long time.
I know. And 2022, these are some rough ass streets.
It's been cray cray.
It's been a little rough already, but we are excited because we got a homie in the building. So I am very excited to introduce India Sims. She is a mompreneur and a dancer and just a super talented, woke individual, I'll say. So what's up, India?
Hi, guys. Okay, I wish I had like a smooth voice like both of y'all. It's just coming in all creamy and smooth, and I'm all like, hey. So hopefully it translates well, but hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Bridge. We are equally as excited as you are to just shoot the shit, to parlay, to partay. So let's get into it. We're going to start with a little bit of vital information.
And now, more vital information for your everyday life.
So this week for vital information, we got a little good, we got a little bad, we got a little sad. So I'm going to start with the good because we need to really just, we need to sit in some goodness right now. So if I could actually find it, because everything is so bad. Okay, so last week we actually talked about Spider-Man No Way Home and how great it did in the box office. But we have a new contender this week. Paramount's Scream hit the screens. And it's the fifth installment in the long-running slasher franchise. It notched an estimated $30.6 million at the North American box office this weekend. So that is actually pretty good. It exceeded expectations, and slasher films and like horror films are kind of like very, it's one of the genres that is the most reliable when it comes to the box office. So this was pretty expected, but it's pretty cool because right now people are talking about like the death of the movies and people going to the movies. So this is a good sign. It took Spider-Man's number one spot. So it dethroned Spider-Man this weekend, and it's estimated to bring in 25 million more at least. So we're happy about that. Are you guys gonna go see the new Scream?
I didn't even know what's a new Scream. Is it kind of like how the old ones were, like the funny ones, or is it like really hard and scary?
I think they are probably going to stay true to the franchise. I know that they brought back a lot of the original characters from the original Scream. I think Courtney Cox, they brought back somebody else. So, you know, I feel like a lot of these movies right now that have like four or five installments, they're kind of going back to basics. They're going back to the foundation. They're really trying to pull in like a nostalgia with the audience. But I'm just going to be honest, like I was never one for horror films. So I would have to go back and watch like all the Screams before I would even attempt to go see it. But
I actually like the Scream series. I didn't know they was doing a new one either, and I want to see it, especially now that CeCe's in it. Courtney Cox, that's my girl. They got the old cast. Like,
you know I'm a nostalgia junkie. I have to go, but I'm not about to go outside in the movie theaters during a panoramic, especially not the Omarion variant. People are out here really tripping. I'm not trying to be touched, so I will not be going to the theater. But I, if anybody know a plug or a little link or something, let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to wait for it to be streaming on platforms.
Well, right now, it seems like, you know, a lot of the people who are making these movies are now just pretty much accepting and contemplating like that double release where it gets released on a streaming platform as well as in the movie theater, because I just feel like that's where we are right now. We just need to accept it. And okay, you might not be making as much money, because they're putting in so many millions of dollars. Of course, they want to see that return, but I feel like we're at a time right now that that just doesn't seem feasible. So I think that it'll probably be on a streaming platform before you know it. It's not like back in the day when you had to wait till it came out on Blockbuster. Hold on, you remember that? Like, it's not giving that. So hopefully we'll be able to see it soon.
So actually, why did I think I was thinking about Scary Movie and not Scream? But I know what you're talking about now. But I did actually like the Screams. And did you guys ever see the show they came out with? Keke Palmer was in it. And what is that girl name?
Nick Jonas was in it. Yes. Wow. I actually did
like the show. I think they did a good job with it.
Well, I think that the franchise in general does have like a little bit of humor, like just the underlying tone of humor in there, because the show definitely did. Now, I'm again not super familiar with the movies. I am more familiar with the parody of the movies, just because I feel like the age we are, like when I was coming up and when I was growing up, Scary Movie was like the new thing, and they made fun of Scream. That movie made fun of Scream. So it was just kind of like we would reference that movie as opposed to referencing the actual Scream movie. So I'm right there with you, Indy. I'm like, but again, I would have to go back and like have a whole educational moment with those. But yeah. So moving on from the box office, let's stay on that track right now, because I don't want to get into the sad stuff yet. But I watched a new show. It's actually not new, but I watched a show on HBO this weekend. I did a little binging, and it's called Love Life. And it was really good. I'm going to say that I favored the second season because it was from a Black perspective, but it definitely like kind of triggered me. Have y'all seen Love Life?
I haven't.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to ask her, like, what was it more about in more detail? Like,
yeah, because I hadn't even heard of it.
Okay. So the first season follows Anna Kendrick. Her character's name is Darby, which is a hilarious name. I don't know. But it's funny. And it just kind of follows her love life throughout like her 20s and her 30s. And it's a very realistic depiction of trying to find love. And so each episode, the way they have it set up is each episode chronicles like, most episodes are the name of like somebody she dated. Like that is a time period, because I know for people like me, I actually associate different years of my life with like people who I was with and people I dated. And so they kind of do the show like that. They set up the show like that. And I really like that. And then some of the episodes are about, you know, their friends, themselves, their pursuit of finding happiness within themselves. The first season, and there's like some humor in there. I really liked the first season because as a female, I could really relate to her struggle and her journey. And it kind of just speaks to the fact that sometimes, you know, it's the right person, wrong time. Sometimes it's the right person, right time. But most of the times it's the wrong person. So it kind of was therapeutic in a way as well. But the second season follows William Jackson Harper. So if you watch The Good Place, he's a Chidi on The Good Place. He's a Black guy.
Shout out to Chidi.
Oh my God.
Shout out to The Good Place, but shout out to Chidi.
We love Chidi. Chidi is, that's actually not his real name. William Jackson Harper. He's hot. Like, I like the way he looks. He's hot, and he's one of those people who, like, through his clothes, like, you can't tell how buff he is, but they have his shirt off a lot. That was enjoyable. But it really, that season really spoke to me because he's Black. And, you know, it chronicled his perspective as a Black man dating Black women and white women. And I mean, damn, I could really, really relate to some of that stuff. Like I said, it triggered me, but like in the best way, because I feel like Black people date a certain way. And I feel like we have a tendency to not be able to be honest and vulnerable sometimes with each other about how we feel just because we're just trying to be cool or we're just trying to like be nonchalant or whatever like that. I feel like that was really seen on the show. So watch, I don't want to give too much away, but watch the show, everyone. Love Life on HBO. Especially right now during the winter season, I feel like everybody like got engaged in the past month. Like there were so many Chrises, like India. Honestly. Come on, like
I'm over here, like it's when's my turn,
girl? And you know what?
I'm happy for everybody. I love love. So
me too, me too. And it's not even just like not loving love, but sometimes you do see like everybody around you getting engaged and you're like, well, damn. So I was
what
actually,
about how I feel,
what about me, right? Exactly. So I was actually having one of those moments, and one of my good friends Jamil, shout out to you Jamil, he was like, you should watch Love Life on HBO, like for real, watch it, you'll like it. So that's actually how I ended up being like, okay, I'm going to watch it, because he wasn't the first person to tell me to watch it. But y'all, okay, watch the show. Tell us what you think. Give us some feedback, because we're waiting for season 3 to be confirmed. And I'm really vying for a Black woman perspective. Like, I really would love that. So, yeah. Okay. So let's get into our next little bit of news. So tomorrow is MLK Day. And right now, yes, the king. We're celebrating the king tomorrow. But there is a little drama and controversy because his son right now is really vying for 2 bills to be passed in Congress, and they're voter bills. One of the bills is the Freedom to Vote Act, and the other bill is the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. So this is about voter suppression, and a lot of people in Congress are trying to block that. Okay. But he feels like it's extremely important. And it is too, especially on what would have been the 93rd birthday for MLK Jr. to really push for these bills to be passed. But there are a couple of haters. Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, who are not trying to. And you know what? The thing is that with these bills, you know, they're using filibusters to try to get these bills to not be passed. So a lot of people are just kind of vying for the filibuster rules to be changed and to be altered. And Joe Manchin is like, nah, because they've been the same for 232 years. That's false, by the way. They have been updated since then, and they've been updated as late as the 1970s. But yeah, so that's what's going on in Congress. They're really trying to get these bills over the finish line, but they remain unmoved at this.
Y'all better let these damn people vote. Stop playing.
Did they ever pass that bill? I know it was maybe like a month or two ago, like in Texas, they were trying to get a bill passed where they don't teach Black history in school anymore.
I believe they did pass that, and mm-hmm. I think there's already an adjustment in Texas with the schools, but a lot of educators are finding ways around that because I don't know who that bill was important to, but to the people educating the kids, they understand the importance of a diverse education, especially an education that is honest about this country's history and our perspective on our social privilege, as well as the discrimination of people of color. So I've seen a lot of very creative ways that people have gotten around the technicality of it all. including having alternative options for kids and different types of programs in the classroom to intensify that side of it. But it's some bullshit.
And people are not fucking having that shit. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. Ain't nobody trying to hear that noise. And speaking of education, I'm glad you actually said something about that, because this was an interesting bit of news that I thought I would bring up. But administrators in a school district in upstate New York have to issue an apology. There was a teacher that assigned a homework assignment that was extremely offensive. Okay. And in one of the assignments, and in this assignment, one of the sentences read, "You," in parentheses, the word "friendly," "are Mexican and ugly." While another within the same worksheet read, "You," politely, "are pretty and American." I don't know what the fuck this has to do with anything, but it was the teacher's doing. Right now, they're kind of blocking who the teacher, they won't reveal the teacher's identity. They, of course, are like, I don't understand how this could even go on. But it's like, the reality of it is that they're not checking every single assignment that a teacher is giving to a class, because if they did that, then they wouldn't have time to do anything else. So stuff like this, I'm sure, is slipping through the cracks all throughout racist ass America. But I just thought that it was so interesting that, and this is a sixth grade class. This school is called Mill Middle School in Williamsville Central School District. Are you familiar? Because I know you was in upstate, right?
I was. I don't really know that space, but I've also worked in education upstate, and I'm very familiar with the education system. And to some extent, yeah, there is. It's kind of like a big deal in a small place. Like, I can see how things like that can slip through the cracks, even if it's unintentional. Like, even if it's like someone just didn't pay attention to that, or there was like some incorrect, the assignment got crossed with a different assignment. Like, I can see how stuff like that can happen. But it's disappointing that they're not revealing who this person is, because it kind of sends a message to the kids, in my opinion, that concealing that is okay. And it's okay if you don't tell anyone that you said it, or it's okay if you don't tell anyone that you did it, or when it comes to matters like that, you don't have to own up to it. I think it just sets a really bad tone. And I'm really curious as to how the school district is now addressing the students that are aware of what's happening, because we live, like we talked about a few episodes back, we live in social media. If it's news, the kids know before they come to school. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really interested in seeing how they're managing that from that perspective.
They haven't released how they are actually addressing the problem. Like, I'm trying to know, did they get fired? Is it a woman? Is it a man? What is the nationality giving?
Like, is it Mexican? Like, that's like, come on.
Right.
They didn't get fired. But did they have like pictures? Because like specifically they called out Mexican. So what is technically American, ma'am? I mean, we know what they was probably trying to say, but
no, we don't. Bring them on the show. I don't know. Who said that? Who said that?
We knew who that was considering American.
We gotta reach out to the school district for an interview, because I need to know what exactly they considered pretty and what exactly they considered American.
Who was American?
Right now, America is in a space where, you know, literally Congress is trying to, a lot of people in Congress are trying to make stuff like this okay. So that's like where we're at right now. And so it sounds extremely ridiculous to us, but like India said, they probably did not get fired. And that pisses me off. But social media is definitely outrage. And you know, social media is going to have its say in social media court. So,
and they better. And they better.
Social media might be the only way they get fired.
We're going to find out. Social media is going to tell the business. We're going to find out who the hell said that.
It's going to take one of them students to be like, it was blah, 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 Mr. or Mrs.
Exactly. I hope that child got older brothers and sisters and stuff. you know, doing like little research projects on the side and stuff, but we got to figure this out because that is not okay at all. By no means is that okay. And did that assignment just go to that one student? Did it go to
No. This was an assignment that was given to an entire sixth grade class. I actually saw a picture of the said assignment and it was dumb. It was like a grammar assignment, but it's like, why? Like, why do you do things? And people see stuff like this. I'm like, did you do this to get noticed? Surely you didn't want to lose your job. Maybe you thought you wouldn't lose your job. Or is this like
When it comes to tenure, it's really, once you become tenured, it's very hard for you to lose your job as an educator. It is very, very difficult to lose your job as an educator. It's very possible to do things like this and be sentenced to like sensitivity training and still have your job or be repositioned in a different classroom assignment. Or it's very, I don't know. And I don't know why this is the case, but when it comes to education and you're tenured, it is really, really hard for you to lose your job. And a lot of teachers and educators are aware of that and they do take advantage of that. They will tell you, you know, as a student, I've been in classrooms where I've been told straight out by teachers, I have a tenure. I'm not going to lose my job. Like, so it gets very fucked up, for lack of better words. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than it's just a fucked up situation. I really hope that our education shifts in a way that educators are taking their job seriously and are really having a passion and love for what they do, not like a sense of control. This is my space. I'm in charge kind of thing. You know, I just, that never worked as an educator. Even when I was teaching, I would always say, the kids are going to set the standards of what the classroom is going to be. This is their classroom. It's not mine. You know, I just work here, but this is their actual space. This is their community. Like, I can't tell them what is normal in their space. They got to tell me what's normal in their space and become a part of that. So hopefully we make some advances. If not, mark my words, there's going to be a student uprising. Trust and believe. These elementary school kids, they're getting really smart. They're becoming very socially aware and they're starting to understand the purpose of a movement, how to start one, how to maintain one. What you don't want is these elementary school kids getting, they're going to get woke. Watch what I tell you.
I need them to walk out. I need them to do a walk. We need a
girl. They're going to lay down. They just going to lay in the hallway. It's like, it's going to be a lay-in. Like, this is going to be something dramatic. This ain't no, oh, I'm in my 20s. I don't really got that energy. No, you talking about kids that all they want to do is play. You don't want somebody in play mode giving an uprising. You crazy? They ain't never going to come out of that uprising. You know how hard it is to take a kid out of play mode? Like, no, they going to be, watch, mark my words, it's going to happen.
We hope so, because I really feel like there are a lot of decisions being made. And like you said, I feel like the kids are the people who are the most affected. And I really, really hope and pray that they become a little bit more involved with what is happening with their education. And I feel like there are a lot of things that a lot of people feel like they don't have control over, but kids are different. And so I hope kids really stand up and fight for their rights to have an education that isn't biased, to have an education that, you know, people aren't forcing agendas on them. Whatever that fucking agenda was, I don't know what the agenda was for that particular one. But moving forward, we have to move on. So, man, we lost Bob Saget. We lost Bob Saget this week, and we lost Sidney Poitier. We lost Betty White. And 2022, like, I don't know what is going on.
It's ghetto. It stank. I'm leaving. Call me a cab. I'm leaving.
Like, 2021 is looking real cute right now. Like, you know, when you, like, dated somebody and you're like, ugh. But then you date somebody new and that last person start looking like kind of. It's like, damn, it really wasn't that bad. Like, 2021 playing, like, you looking kind of good right now. Like, 2022 is not where it's at. So RIP Bob. A lot of celebrities have just come out to say how much of an amazing person he was, how he affected their lives, how funny he was. We don't yet know the cause of his death. They don't suspect foul play. So hopefully it was, you know, natural causes, but his legacy will live on. Betty White, her birthday, 100th birthday, is coming up very soon. You know, she's gotten a lot of social media love because we didn't want to let go of Betty. We thought Betty was going to like live forever.
Betty was hanging in there. Okay. Betty said, I'm about to make it to 100. And yeah, she was just still so full of life. She didn't crack. I'll leave it at that.
Betty got a little black in her. She knows she do.
Just a tad. But yeah, so I just wanted to mention that. And just know that right now, the way that we can honor their memory is by, you know, watching the things that they were a part of, sharing those things with, let's say, the younger generation so that their legacy can live on. So the last thing I'm going to talk about, I had a couple things on the list, but a lot of these things are dropped off because I just don't want to talk about like really depressing things. But let's talk about Kimye real quick. So Kimye is in the midst of a divorce, as we know, and it's getting uglier by the day. We know that Ye is now fully enthralled in a relationship with Julia Fox. What you got to say about that, India?
Who is Julia and where did she come from? Okay,
first of all, like, I was
what did
just
she do? Like, where did he find her? And honestly, I just want to say this: if he's really trying to make him jealous, he need to get a black lady, because that is who they're trying to be. Like, that is the only way.
This is a conversation. I don't think Ye is going to go back to black women, but I think there are some issues there. I think there are some mommy issues there. I don't think that we're going to get Ye with another person of color. And that's kind of that might be a different conversation for a different time. But Julia Fox is an actress, and she's been very, very vocal in the media about their budding romance, about how, you know, I don't know if she's used the word soulmates, but she said they have an extremely strong connection. He's a Gemini, she's an Aquarius. So they have that Aquemini connection, which I've had before. It's pretty intense. But it's definitely kind of weird. But Ye was really upset this weekend because he said that Kim would not let him know where his daughter Chicago's birthday party was going to be held. We know that Pete Davidson was in the building. He also came out with a new song where he has a line about beating Pete's ass in the song. What is that song called? Energy?
Wait, Pete was already at the birthday party?
Oh, Pete and Kim are like extremely official. Like, apparently Kim is smitten with Pete. We already know, we heard Pete is a tripod, so I'm sure that has something to do with it, because you know those tripods, you know, you get digmatized. You know,
about to ask, what the hell is a tripod?
Yeah, I was coming next.
So a tripod, so if you think about,
you've made it clear. Okay,
you've for clarified. Our listeners, for Thank our you. Listeners out there, you think about a tripod, you think about having two legs and then having, you know, something in the middle that's like as long as a leg. It's like a third leg. So the rumors, you know, and I think Scott Disick like commented on one of Kim's posts and asked, like, is the tripod there? So
I've always loved Scott. But you know, they shouldn't even be around the kids right now, because one, we know for sure that Kim can be with somebody for a very short amount of time in marriage and in relationships. So why is he hanging around already?
You know, they don't care about stuff like that. Well, I know Pete lives in Long Island, New York, so it's definitely a long distance thing. But when you got money, it don't have to be long distance. Like, you can fly out today if you want to see each other. But yeah, so there's some drama there. It's giving, she's not trying to let me see my kids. You know, Ye moved across the street from them so that he can be close to his kids. But I think that he's probably into Julia, but I also think, and she's an actress, by the way. I'm trying to figure out what she was on. She's an actress, artist, model, and filmmaker. She is known for her debut performance in the 2019 film Uncut Gems. She was nominated for Breakthrough Actor Award at the Gotham Awards. I don't know what the fuck that is. But Vogue has also called her a modern bombshell. Again, I'm not seeing it. But apparently, Ye sees it. So, yeah, they're definitely having some divorce drama right now, which is extremely sad because, you know, they have 4 kids together. And they were together for a decade, and I think, you know, each person having their own new partner, they're not officially divorced yet. We knew it was going to get sticky. So
I feel like it's all, they're just trying to make each other jealous. I do think they should take it off though, because obviously we see North is all up and down on the internet, TikTok, Instagram. So eventually they all will see
what? This stuff.
Yeah, yes. she's a budding TikTok influencer.
You lying. How old is that child?
I don't think even think she like 7 yet, is she? I mean, she may be 7. I don't, but
she's not 10.
She's not 12. 10.
She might be like 8. I think she might be, I think that North is maybe 8 or 9. She's the oldest. I'm going to give her a cute 8. Maybe 8.
She's a budding TikTok celebrity.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because Ye had some thoughts about that. But apparently, he went to the crib and, you know, I don't know if it was North of Chicago. Maybe North wanted to show him something. So she was like, Daddy, come upstairs because I want to show you something. But apparently, Pete was in the house at the same time. So the security guards were like, nah, Ye cannot come in. So he was pissed about that. So he called his cousins. I'm not lying, y'all. He called Pookie and Day Day to come over and to be his spokesperson about
not
how he felt.
Day Day. Not Pookie and Day Day.
I don't know their names. But you know the cousin. You know the cousins, Pookie and Day Day. He said that his cousins are very vocal. So he brought the cousins in to tell Kim how he felt about North being on TikTok, how he felt about him not being able to be in the house or whatever that was. So he was like, I brought my cousins. What's up?
I have nothing to say. Like, not calling Pookie and Day Day. Come on.
I think his retrograde kicked in a little bit before everybody else's because he's been on one before.
His retrograde ain't never stopped. Ye is retrograde. He is the... He is... retrograde, like Kanye. What can we say? I feel like we can have a whole episode on Kanye. Like, what can we say? Kanye, if you out there, if you listening, I'm wishing the best for you, my brother. I hope that you are getting all the help that you need. Leave Pookie and Day Day out of it. It's just not a good look. When you gotta call Pookie and Day Day, nothing ever comes of a circumstance positive that you are being ushered away from a facility by security and you open your phone and you say, yo, Pookie and Day Day, come over. Like that never can end well. Like that there's no circumstance. So
if they wouldn't listen to him, he's going to have to call a reinforcement.
If they're not listening to Kanye West, they are not.
Well, they wouldn't give him the address to the party. He's trying to find somebody to be a middleman.
Damn sure ain't giving it to Pookie and Day Day. But I wish all of them the best. I really think that this is too much. This is messy. It seems very selfish on the parts of the parents. I'm worried about the kids acting out. And yeah, this is just a stunt, and it's too much. And I think that at first it was just Kanye's mental well-being and his health tied up into the stuntmen's, but now you have kids. And so you got to think about their mental health. And this just doesn't, it ain't looking good. It ain't.
You already got other significant others. You got each parent now has another significant other. It can definitely get extremely messy for the kids. There's no way you can leave your kids out of this because it's all in the media. And clearly they have access to the media. Like, I think that Ye is probably vying for their phones to be taken away. But I know that Kimberly is not going to let that happen. So, But that's all we have for vital information for your everyday life, you guys.
That was a nice segment. Thank you for bringing us all of that good information. I got a good way back for y'all. Let's jump into the way back segment because I know that y'all gonna be hype about this and I'm nosy, so I want to know.
What we gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
All right, so for today's way back, boom. Tell me, I want to know what superstitions y'all grew up on. I want to know, because I'm convinced that in the time that we grew up, every Black family had superstitions.
Damn, that's a hard one. That's like, that's a hard one.
But like, step on your crack, break your mama's back. All right, so let me just throw some out there. 7 years of bad luck for the mirror being cracked. Tell me y'all can relate to that.
Well, I would say that these were not enforced by my family. I grew up with my mom and my dad. They're both like scientists. They're very realistic people. And so they weren't. And I think that they both grew up in the country. And I think that especially on my mom's side, there were a lot of like superstitions. But she did not carry those into our household. Wow. So it will be hard to say that there were any in my household. I'm gonna have to think about that. So somebody else go first.
I didn't necessarily really believe the step on the crack, but that Freddy Krueger in the mirror, that scared me. Okay.
What was it? Was Freddy Krueger,
Candyman? It was Candyman.
And Bloody Mary.
Tell me, Candyman was not coming if you said it three times in the dark.
Our generation, that was like the worst time to be a kid because horror movies was at its finest. Like that was the golden age for horror movies. And so yeah, scary. I was very scared of the dark. I didn't play with that Candyman. I didn't even play with y'all. Remember Beetlejuice? I didn't even mess with Beetlejuice.
No, I like Beetlejuice. I like Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice was funny. He's not scary.
Certain parts that had you like, hold
up. He was giving Edward Scissorhands.
We love Edward Scissorhands.
Bloody Mary. I don't even know what Bloody Mary was supposed to be. I just knew I was scared of Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary is like Mary Queen of Scots, ain't it? Mary Queen of Scots. So I think it's based on Mary Queen of Scots, which I actually fuck with Mary Queen of Scots. There is a show, there was a show called Rain. It was on CW and it followed Mary Queen of Scots. And that was my shit. So I believe that she is the Bloody Mary they were talking about because a lot of people died on her watch. Apparently she was extremely ruthless, but she did what she needed to do. So that is where that's where Bloody Mary came from. But we were definitely in the mirror. At my school, at my church, in the dark. Yes. Because kids are going to be kids.
Not at church.
Well, I went to a Christian school, number one. So I went to a Christian school and at church. But you know, kids do not care, y'all. We were not the ones preaching. So we were definitely all up in the mirror like Candyman. Candyman. And it was like, all right, who gonna say it the fifth time? Like, and then we would say it the fifth time, and then we would just like run out of the bathroom real quick.
I wasn't even sleeping beside you at the sleepover if you went in there playing.
my mama said I can't play with you. I can't play with her. Yeah. So y'all remember Knock on Wood though? Tell me y'all.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, definitely.
Now, I still do that. That is something I still do sometimes. I don't know if it's just because I can't help it. But
it's probably just a habit, yeah. But it actually do does have like religious roots and stuff. It's kind of Celtic, like Indo-European type thing. And basically, people believe that there were spirits that were trapped inside of trees. So they could either call on the protection of that spirit or chase it away by knocking on their homes because their homes was made of the wood from those trees. And at that time, Christian beliefs actually connected it to some magical powers built in the wood of a crucifix.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy. It gets there. So that was where that knock on wood came from. But we had like so many... I don't know. I grew up in a very superstitious family. I feel like my family has always been very spiritual, but they don't realize that they're spiritual. But I grew up in the whole, you people in your family have gifts. Like, this one can see spirits and this one can hear things. I grew up around a lot of that, throwing the salt over your shoulder or homeopathic this and homeopathic that. So I grew up with a lot of superstitions, and I don't think my mother put a lot of it into the house, but she definitely kind of, like, splitting a pole. You don't split a pole. Like, I would get called back around that damn pole and walk on the right side, you know? So we definitely grew up, and we never really tapped into our heritage. I think if we did, we would be able to pinpoint some of those beliefs more. We grew up as, like, the traditional Black family in the Bronx, hood, broke, poor, poverty, period. So it was not giving, this is our culture. It was like, we gonna figure it out, eat this bread, and go to sleep. That's what it was given. So, but I do feel like something about our heritage always had, like, this mystical type of element, like this, we didn't mess around with voodoo. We ain't play with that. No, no, no. We didn't talk about it. Don't bring it in the house. Any of those little things. We didn't jinx, like, water guns and stuff like that. We wasn't really allowed to do that, because if you point it at someone's face, it's kind of like you're marking them. So there was, like, a lot of different things that, even, like, drawing stuff across your face, like, there was a lot. So I grew up very neurotically nervous. I didn't want to be a part of nothing. I was like, you know what? Take the wheel. Take me, Jesus. I'm ready to go. Because I don't know. I can't be stepping on the crack and none of that. But I wound up being, like, really paranoid about certain things. Like, if y'all ever had, we all, this is MLK Day. I feel like most Black people had a picture of Martin Luther King in their house. And them eyes on Martin Luther King looked like it was following you. Am I wrong?
We did not have such things in my particular, again, I feel like my household was a little bit different than other people's households. So we didn't have anything like that.
India.
We didn't have the Martin Luther King. We had the book, the big Black book, mm-hmm. but we had that other picture I know that every Black family had. It's like a line of people. And
yeah,
they were dancing, following you.
Did any of y'all had a Black Jesus with the dreads?
We didn't.
That one was looking at you.
We had some, like, Black Madonna pictures, like Black mothers. Mm. You know, we had stuff like that in the house. But as far as superstitions, those things were reinforced in school. So we never really, there was nothing that happened at home, but, like, at school, it was like, don't split the pole. And I remember I never knew what that meant, because I went to a Christian school from kindergarten to the fifth grade. So I was extremely sheltered. So when I did get to public school, I was still in a magnet program. So there was a little bit of sheltering there, but it was a culture shock for me. So they would be like, oh my gosh, don't split that pole. And I would be like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't mm-hmm. understand. I never got the significance of, like, why two people can't walk on either side of a pole. Like, for me, it made sense for it to happen. But I think by habit of other kids always saying something when I would walk on the other side, they're like, no girl, you can't do that. You got to go back around.
Not no girl.
No girl.
I'm just imagining, like, a group of kids, like, into their little kid conversation and just stopping, like, wait, Shannon, what you doing? No girl, get over here. You can't split that ball.
Exactly. And I would be like, but why? Like, why? Because I was always the inquisitive child. Don't ask me to do something because I'm going to ask you what's the reason. What is the reason before I do this? So that was another reason why superstitions didn't really stick to me, because I was so inquisitive that I would always ask, like, well, why can't I do this? Now, the whole knock on wood thing, I feel like that's something everyone always does. It's kind of like jinx, because it's like, you don't want to say I've never done this. And then as soon as you say it, mm-hmm. you know, it happens to you. So knock on wood is just kind of one of those things.
Yeah,
where it's like,
and that's generally for Black superstitions, when we got a hold of it, that's generally what we translated superstitions into, luck. It was like, by doing things, there's a likeliness of something good or something bad happening. But the true superstitions had very specific meanings to them, and it had not much to do with luck. It was actual conjuring related. This is what you're actively doing. There's no in the future something might happen. But I feel like in Black families, superstitions was just like you're going to jinx yourself in the future. But most superstitions, it's like that specific action is what is the problem. Like, for example, like walking under a ladder. I always felt like it was common sense. Don't walk under a damn ladder because it could fall. But there's actually like old Christian symbolisms. Like there in Christianity, you have this huge symbolism in this theme of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So with that being represented in an angle of a triangle, people would believe that when you walk through that triangle, you destroy the sanctity of the Trinity and you are going to face punishment as a result of that. So, but that's a very specific belief. I feel like when I was growing up, don't walk under a ladder. Why? Because it's bad luck. Don't step on a crack. Why? Because it's bad luck. Don't split the pole because it's bad luck. Everything was like bad luck. Like you're going to have something bad happen in your life. But what's interesting is I grew up with people that didn't have the luckiest lives, and we never subscribed that to that time that you broke a mirror. Yeah. We never said, oh, you know why that's happening to Jake? Because 7 years ago, Jake broke that mirror. Y'all remember? Like we never recounted it. We just assumed. And I think that when you just live your life assuming that eventually something bad is going to happen, you're going to manifest that bad thing happening. And it's even worse because you're not even connecting it to a specific event. You're just like, oh, well, I must do this in my life and now I'm having bad luck. So
it's kind of like that always happens to me. So I try to watch what I say because like spelling, they try to say it's technically a spell.
It's out there.
So when I would lie and be like, oh, I can't come to work, I got a flat tire, literally that next day, I would get a flat tire.
No, that's the reality. Oh. Yeah, I feel like every time I lie about something, it happens. That's why I'll be like, let me just not even.
Well, we talked about on another episode, we talked about how strong like manifestation is a real thing. And like you said, the origin of the word spelling came from the fact that words are spells and words are extremely powerful. So that's why you have to watch what you say. And that's why I feel like Knock on Wood was like the one, and like Jinx, those are the ones that are like a little bit more realistic, because I feel like when you say things, they do have a tendency to happen. I think with the other superstitions, like you said, Rob, I feel like they were more tradition-based, like they were passed down generationally, but we didn't really believe in them. So it's like, if you broke a mirror, it's like, okay, 7 years bad luck. And somebody would say, oh, 7 years bad luck. But you didn't really believe that you were going to have 7 years of bad luck. You know, that's just something that, you know, it was a passed down superstition. But I think that a lot of those are in certain families are really dying out. And other families are keeping them strong. I really feel like it is, like you said, connected to the culture. If you're rooted very strongly in your ancestry and in your culture, a lot of those things, they survive.
Well, that's a word. I'm
trying to figure out how many ladders this Christians was walking under back in the day for them to make this.
Can we talk about it?
How many ladders are you guys going through?
I don't know, man. It must have been enough because this had to have been tried and proved at some point. I don't know. But that is my stroll down memory lane. I was just thinking about that. So that's what I have for the way back today.
Okay, one last show that really scared the crap out of me. Carriage the Cowardly Dog. Was anybody else?
Was we not just talking about this, Shannon?
Were we talking about Courage?
We were.
That was a weird show.
The grandma and the grandpa. Okay, they scared.
That was weird. That show was designed to show a dog's perspective. Like, not evil. I'm on the floor. Somebody with a respirator. I didn't see people.
They were evil. They were definitely evil.
The way their eyes and stuff look like.
But the show was designed to be a dog's perspective. So how dogs are always like basically panicky and afraid of stuff. Like it was meant to illustrate the mind of a dog, but it still was very dark and twisted. And I don't understand why that was a children's movie. You know, that's a cartoon that grown folks probably need to see. You know, I just
wasn't it on Adult Swim though?
No, it was on regular Degola. That was on regular Degola Cartoon Network.
Damn, I remember it only coming on. It used to come on like
right after Our Real Monsters.
I do remember. Oh my gosh, Our Real Monsters was a really, really good show. And what was the boss name? Wasn't her name like Tara Raboomdia or something like that?
It was some bullshit.
You remember that?
I wasn't watching that shit.
That was a funny show.
I wasn't watching.
Yes, come on, Cartoon Network. We need to have a little. A little stroll down.
A little cartoon kickback.
Cartoon Network is still evil because they have a commercial of them using like babies as drums. It's just out of hand. It's, like infants banging them. Like
not out of pocket.
It's just, like, you know how the DJs wear like things on their heads? They have like triangles in their heads and they have like infants just smashing them. Like they drum. They out of pocket. Somebody need to go talk to Cartoon Network.
Well, we went down memory lane for Nickelodeon, but we did not do the same for Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network definitely had some bangers, but they were questionable. Let's be honest. They were edgy. Let's talk about Dexter's Lab. That was my shit.
Dexter's because my sister is a scientist. I always tell her she's Dexter and I'm Dee Dee, and I'm just going to go in her lab and start breaking shit. I still probably will do that, but I'm not going to do it while she's working for the man. I'll wait till she get her own lab. So she'll get in trouble, then I'm running up in there.
But also, like, if you think about the Powerpuff Girls, some of those villains, if you look back and watch it today, like, it's like, hold on, wait a minute. Yeah. Like, the main villain from Powerpuff Girls was, like, transgender. Like, these are things that we didn't pick up
yeah,
on.
Yeah, a lot of, like, a lot of characters from our childhood movies were transgender, androgynous, or even in drag. I was watching something from like those, you remember like those Allegra's Window type joints where they would have like that
window.
Yeah, like the characters, they definitely picked like androgynous or characters in drag, and we really didn't realize it, but that's just been a common thing. I don't, even in like the design of superheroes for like the Marvel and DC universe, there was a movement to make those characters more drag. That's why they have like their underwear outside their shirt. They have these contrasting colors and stuff like that. It was designed specifically to be inclusive of the drag community. That's why the creative direction. So it's not, that doesn't really surprise me. But what does surprise me is all of the sex. Like we were just talking about Powerpuff Girls. Who was that shorty with the red hair, Mrs. Red or somebody? She was all ass and titties.
Yeah, no, that's all they show.
Like she was all titties. And I was just like, she ain't all titties. She was all titties. Like
she was the first Wizza Kelly with no face.
Yo, her and Wizza Kelly probably go together. Like, don't
hilarious. But you know, they say that a lot of these cartoons were made for parents who watch cartoons with their children because we weren't picking up on any of these nuances, but I'm sure our parents were. And there is actually a documentary on Netflix that I watched about the influence of drag on television, the influence of transgendered individuals on television, and you know, being incorporated in things like cartoons. And so there's actually something on Netflix, I cannot remember the name of it right now. I think it's either a documentary or an episode of a show, kind of like Explained or something, where they kind of touch on this. I'll find it later and let you all know, but it's actually an interesting history. I absolutely loved it. It was cool, but it's cool seeing these things from a perspective that's not a child's. Because you look back and you're like, oh damn, why didn't I like catch that?
If you go back and watch the Proud Families, you will be cracking. Like, how were we watching this? Sugar Mama, she be off the chain. And it's not necessarily bad. It's just like stuff we still probably should not have been watching. But the Proud Families, if you watch it now,
oh yeah, her little Spanish boyfriend,
Poppy, and the stuff he used to say about Sugar Mama, he used to be calling her ugly, like all this stuff.
Lord, Sugar Mama.
My favorite character was Uncle Bobby, okay, who sang everything. I absolutely love him. Fruitcake tastes like the bottom of my bouquet.
You know they doing it. Y'all know they doing a reboot, right?
Yeah. I was just about to ask, where you gonna watch it?
I'm done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's gonna be really, really, really good, really cute. I'm excited. I live for a reboot, honestly. That just means that people who are our age wanna see a lot of shit come back. It's really us. It's gotta be us who are doing these things, you know?
I don't really live for the reboot. Sometimes they be whack. Like,
yeah, I think they don't
Full House was corny.
You watched the reboot?
Hold on. I watched the reboot. I watched the reboot of Full House. This is what I will say. The original Full House was pretty corny, but I will say the reboot was corny, but I did enjoy it. Sometimes it's like cool to just have on something that's kind of corny, very like, you know, PC. Something. Like, you know, because sometimes that's the mood and sometimes that's the vibe. Sometimes you don't want to watch something that's like extremely heavy or something that makes you think. Sometimes you do want to watch. But what I did enjoy about the new Full House, my favorite aspect was there were a lot of musical aspects. So if you're going to throw musicality in there, I'm going to love it. Like, there were dance numbers, there were music numbers, and I really enjoyed those. I think that was probably the highlight of the show for me, like when they got together and did like a special episode, which was like every season. I did watch all of the Full House reboot. I am not gonna lie to you guys, and I enjoyed it, and I'm not ashamed.
So. I didn't see one, but I think people are just running out of ideas, and that's how everything gets recycled, because the stuff they're coming up with now is garbage.
I mean, I feel like there's some good stuff out there. I do feel like some of it's really overdone, and a lot of things have been done before. But I also think that when people try to reboot stuff, reboots began like on the internet. People who were binge watching old shows, and like somebody decided to start a petition and be like, hey, we want to bring this show back because it has a cult following and it never should have ended. Or we all want to know what happened after it ended. So I think that reboots are a beautiful thing because they're of the people. You know, it's almost like the People's Choice Awards. Like, these things are what the people are doing to kind of take control over something that they never had control over before, as far as what goes on TV. You know, I mean, the ratings, yes, but I think that it just goes to show you how back in the day there was such a divide between celebrities, Hollywood, and like real life. And now with social media, everything is so accessible. Like, you know, 100,000 people can get together, sign a petition, and be like, hey, we want to bring back Martin. So what the fuck is up, y'all? You know,
like the episode of the Proud Families when they was bringing it. What was it, Taisha or Aisha, that show? She like protested and stood on a billboard and everything.
Oh, crazy. Man, you went back. First of all, did y'all see the Proud Family? I'm sorry, one more. Proud Family movie, because that shit was funny as hell. That shit was funny as hell. The old Proud Family movie when they got stuck on the island. I feel like I saw
it, but I don't remember it. Didn't it have something to do with somebody not remembering Penny or something like that? Or
I know they got
the peanut guy. They went on like
the cashews. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like cloned all of them.
Yeah. And it was a fake Penny or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And the cat. Okay. Y'all, I kid you not. So you remember the cashew, the like little nuts, the cashews on the island with them big old heads. Mm-hmm. Like, years ago, I went on a date with this guy.
Absolutely not. You not going.
First of all, he would never be listening because he's absolutely blocked. But I think we maybe talked for like a week, and he was on FaceTime, and I would be like, why you you ever been on FaceTime with somebody like when you first get to know them and you like, why you won't take your hat off or why you got that? So one day I was like, why you got your do-rag on like every day? Like, what does it look like under there? And he was like, oh, you know, I got a big head, but I don't have a haircut right now. You know, so blah, blah, blah. So when we actually went on the date, like, and he was like younger than me too. He was really cute, but he had the biggest head that I had ever seen in my life. And it reminded me, and I just couldn't, of course I never went on another. And I feel like some
Not maybe, of course I never went.
Well, I feel like this must happen to him a lot because after the date, well, I wouldn't kiss him on the date and he was like really fucking pissed that I wouldn't kiss him, but his head looked like one of them cashew heads. Like it was large in the back. Oh, it was so big in the back. And it was like crazy because he like took me to his Lord, please, please don't strike me down. I hope he's not listening. I hope he's not listening, but he took me to like a place where he used to work and like the employees there like knew him and everything was like a restaurant or a bar. I think it was a bar. And, you know, we were like, we were on a date, we were flirting or whatever. I was like, well, since I'm on the date, he was like, ooh, can you please rub my head? And I was like, okay. So I was like rubbing his head and he was like, really, he was like really loving it. And like the employees, the people who worked there, they were like laughing at us. And I felt like, damn, like I feel kind of embarrassed because like his head is really, really big. And it's crazy because his face was fine, but that head, no,
that head.
But I always say that it reminded me of those cashews on the Proud Family with the big fucking heads in the back. Anyway, that was my little story, y'all. I'm sorry to this man. Okay. I can't even remember his name at this point, but I don't remember. Why would I remember that? And it's not like I've been on 1,000 dates because I really haven't, but I just, you know how sometimes you just put shit out of your head like you can't.
Let's just stop talking about it because it ain't getting. I feel like you try to recover each sentence and it started to get worse and worse.
You don't remember his name.
You ain't even been on that many dates and you still don't remember.
Nah, I don't. I do not. Because it was just like, I'm never talking to him again. His head is way too big. And this I never thought that I was that shallow. Y'all, I'm just trying to be honest. Like, I never thought you ever like get in a situation where you thought you think that like, yeah, no, you're not shallow. You thought that like personality, like, yeah, if it's personality, like I really like him. No, this was an instance where I was like, damn, Shannon, you are fucking shallow, bitch. And you need to accept it.
Can we just make this the icebreaker? Because now I got to tell you about the story of the time that the chick didn't wear lotion. And
shit. Okay.
She's allergic.
I got a story too.
So we're going to do this for the icebreaker. Shannon did hers. I'm going to get mine. And then you're going to get yours. I'm trying to think. Is she going to? She's not going to listen to this. No. Ain't no fucking. I know I'm going down for this. But I thought up until that point, I've always been. Anyone that knows me knows that I will try anything twice. Like I very seldom, if someone asks me for a date, I'm not going to say no. Because in my mind, it's like, oh, this person came into your life. You never know where things are going to go. See what happens. Because sometimes we be looking for stuff and we be looking past what we need because we think we want something. But it's right there the whole time. So link up, okay? And I'm not even going to give much description because I feel like I don't even want to be responsible for what I'm about to say. We're going to call Joanne, right? And so link up with Joanne. You know, profile pictures is looking everything, right? You know what I mean? Like, it was looking like lemon pepper wings. Like, it was looking good. So, link up. Do you know, I never understood why they call, like, tracks? I didn't know why they call them, like, tracks for your hair. I didn't understand why they call them tracks because I've never seen them before outside of, like, your hair. I didn't know that it was literally a track of hair, like a track of hair, like track hair.
Oh, Lord, please.
Tell me, she just had like tracks, just you could just see it with the glue and everything. Like it was looking nutty. Like,
when did you find her?
Like, it would be hanging, y'all. Like, she would just be walking and the track is just dangling like a bang. It was really, really out of control. And so I was like, there's no way I could be this shallow. There's no way. But it was really bad. And then so we would like link. And, you know, for me, I'm a person that I always believe everything can be worked on, right? Like, I always feel like you got to look past physical stuff can change. So when I go like to link up, I go out of my way to demonstrate proper hair care, right? I'm like, oh, babe, you know, I got this hair pomade for that. Da, 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 da. I'm like, oh, let me just tie my hair up before I go to sleep. You know, I'm going to do this. You know, I take a while, but I tie my hair up before I go to sleep. And she was tying her hair up. You know, like when you get the bandanas, it was like a freaking bandana, like a State Farm bandana or something. I swear that's what she was tying. And she had down hair. Like, India, she had as much hair as you. So it didn't make sense.
I know she did not use cotton. Hold on. I know she did not use cotton.
Aunt.
That is a no-no. We do not tie up our hair with cotton.
I was like, oh, you know, you can. I'm like, oh, I will buy you these and da da da. She was like, oh, I don't need that. I'm just like, you really fucking do. So we go out or whatever, and it's cold outside, right? I see them ankles, and she was a person that likes to wear like flip flops and stuff. She wasn't from New York. She was from like somewhere else. And her feet was not, she was giving, she didn't have small feet. She had those Proud Family, La Cienega Boulevardes. You know what I mean? She had those. And it's like the knuckles was ashy, around the toes was ashy, the ankle was ashy, the Achilles heel. Now, this is how you know how long somebody's feet been ashy for. There is regular ashy on the surface. But when your Achilles heel start looking like chicken nugget meat, you know you've been ashy for a long time. So I would be like, oh, let me check the weather. I'm like, oh, babe, it's cold outside. You know, I'm going to get this
Instagram
popping. You know, I'm going to this, you know, put some Vaseline on because, you know, cold and it crack it. She just was not getting the clue. But there was a point in time where she would tell me, she like, yeah, I'll be on like the train in New York City. And if I'm on the train at like 3 o'clock, when kids get out, it feels like, I feel like people are like, the kids are like laughing at me and I don't know what they're laughing at. I don't know if they think that I'm funny or if they think, she was like really out of it. And I was like, okay, I'm from New York. I used to be a New York City kid. If you're getting attention from a New York City kid, there's only two reasons. One, you have really nice sneakers, or you're getting roasted. That's it. That's it. So if people are pointing and laughing, they're making fun of you. Why would they make fun of me? Y'all, this, and she could sing her ass off. She went and auditioned for The Voice, okay? And I was like, supportive, okay? She went and auditioned for The Voice. She probably had the best voice in there. That girl sings, she sound like to me.
I had to come off speaker like, I mean, mute like.
India. She was not only La Cienega Balenza, she was giving tracks, It was so bad that the panel that was doing the auditions was like, sent her like a sub. They was like, yo, honestly, some of you guys come to this audition every couple of months. We always see you. You guys have great voice, but this is television and you do have to look presentable. I know it's called The Voice, but it's not just about your voice. You do have to look presentable. And they was looking directly at her, talking directly to her, because she had went to this shit like 4 times. And I'm like, that's when I realized, I was like, you know what? I like to think that I'm not superficial, but it's not that. You got to keep yourself together. I don't know. I just feel like if I'm seeing with you, this going to look like a reflection of me. Like why your girl look like Raggedy Ann? Like why the back of her foot look like chicken nugget meat? I got to answer. You got to answer to that.
So do y'all feel like, okay, because that kind of reminds me, it's funny you said The Voice, because you know those people who like audition for American Idol and they don't know that they can't sing. And like, I guess I'm sure somebody has told them, but I don't know if they had just been tuning it out. Like, it's like, where do people who are not self-aware, like, where do people like that come from? Because I just feel like, is that like, and I'm not trying to be funny here, is that like a mental illness or something where like you like don't realize how you are perceived by other people?
Like, well, we definitely going to sink our teeth into some mental health tea, because when we get to that segment later, we will be talking about that.
I know for shows like The Voice and American Idol, it's multiple auditions before they go to the stage. So anybody that comes on those shows that sound horrible, they just doing it for TV. Now, they still could have a little problem because you know you don't sound like what you hear on the radio to still be going. But mm-hmm. I do know like they make them do multiple auditions before they're seen on the actual show. So
I feel like certain people, like maybe on the spectrum, people like that sometimes are not aware of like, you know, the people around them, and especially in like a social environment. So, I mean, I was laughing at home, girl. Maybe she just was allergic to lotion, like you said. But also, it's just
she
like
she thought it was no problem. She didn't. She thought she didn't need these things. What her problem was, she grew up in a small town around a lot of kids that were not of ethnic background, and no one taught her how to take care of herself as a Black woman. No one taught her how to take care of, she didn't know these things. I did wind up hooking her up. I got a stylist and I hooked her up, and even after we was over, she continued to, you know what I mean? So, but no one told her these things. No one taught her and sat her down. She didn't go over. She wasn't around other Black kids. And this wasn't a conversation. So she maintained her hair like a white girl would maintain their hair. But it doesn't look, you know. And one thing I noted about her, she had a problem looking in the mirror. She hated looking in the mirror. But that's because she probably saw all of these imperfections that she had changed. But I did my due diligence, okay? I put her on. All right. I let her know about them ankles. I let her know you should be taking time. Tie the hair up. This is. But she was very resistant to it. So,
damn.
Yeah, that was my story. But come on, India, because I know you about to.
I don't even think mine. I was trying to think of one, but the only one that keeps coming to my head is I went on a date with this guy twice. And it was his outfit. His pants were tighter than mine. And then, you know, he like kind of buff. And you know when their legs look skinny? It was just not.
They got the jail
like
body.
Like a box on some sticks.
Yes.
A box like, sitting on some sticks.
If he comes near around my brothers or sisters, like they're going to join. I'm like, I can't bring this man
home. They be looking like that dude from Despicable Me.
Yeah, exactly. He really did look like him. And just imagine, like, I couldn't even pinch them. I have on skinnies and I still have on room. But that's when I noticed I might be a little superficial, because judging by the outfit, we are not going on another day.
This is exactly why you cannot skip leg day, gentlemen. Do not skip leg day. It's extremely important for the top to match the bottom.
And also, yes, just stop. I feel like it is a lot of people working out, which I am very proud of, like wellness, taking care of yourself. But it is a such thing as too far and too strong. And a lot of men are popping out with these extra shoulder things.
Which the traps.
Yes. I stopped going out on a date with another guy because of, like, he had no neck and I just couldn't look at it.
Very meaty. You know, it's crazy because I think that
wait, you're not gonna speed past that.
Well, no, I was about to.
He was giving SpongeBob.
It was literally like no neck. That's how strong he was. And I really did. I went out with him like three times because I was like, you know, I've been single for a minute. Let me be open. You know, I don't want to say I have a height requirement, but I just like you to be taller than me, okay? And he was exactly my height. And then it was just too much. The no neck, it was just too much.
Oh, girl, I feel like during the pandemic, I feel like niggas are running out of shit to do, so they working out. And they don't know where to go. So they just go up. It's just going up. The muscles are getting bigger and bigger. And I mean, I think I'm extremely shallow. I'm not into dudes who have a whole bunch of muscles because I don't know. It's just something about it. And I do have there is a height requirement to ride this ride. Now, a lot of people feel like I should lower my height requirement, but I am 5'6.5. I love to look up at the dudes that I am dating. Okay. And you know, it's crazy because one of my girlfriends, and she's probably going to be listening too, she about 4'11. And she's like, yeah, I like dudes who are 6 feet and taller. I'm like, girl, those men are not for you. Those men are not for you. Please stick with the 5'6s, the 5'7s. Those dudes are for you. Okay. But I just feel like, you know, at some point I'm like, damn, is my soulmate like 5'5, y'all? Because if that's the case, we might never meet. We might never fall in love. And I hate to say that, but I think that I mean it.
Damn. I realized through that relationship that how my partner carries themselves matters to me, because it's a reflection of not just me, but if I'm dating you, I'm going to put work into being presentable when I'm with you. And that says something about me. It also says something about how I see you and how I feel about you. It's a manners thing for me. Tom Ford, favorite quote, dressing well is a form of good manners. It's a pleasantry, and you're putting time into yourself when you take care of yourself, it makes me think, okay, well, you are a woman that's taking care of yourself. I feel like you take yourself, you have a certain value that you connect with yourself, that you took the time out today to put lotion on. You was like, I'm not going out that, like, you are demanding a certain type of respect and appreciation from other people because you're putting that together. I can't think of anything like physically that I would be like, no, it's not working for me. But I didn't even realize that that mattered to me. But it does. You can't be looking like a bum. I don't know.
Rob, I'm always ashy.
First of all, India, you light skin, so number one, I don't have that luxury, boo boo.
Like, I would end up going to practice because, like, when I get out the shower, I just throw whatever I'm putting on. Like, if I know nothing is going to be showing, and then I'll get to practice. Like, dang, you see my elbows? Will you see my knees?
And the elbows will tell all your business.
The elbows is always on pressure. You don't even know.
No, nah, I'm too paranoid. Growing up dark skin, that shit is like traumatizing. You better dare not come to anywhere. Go to work.
She was darker than you.
Like, yo, you can't go anywhere without lotion. And it's not even lotion, because that, for me, lotion is generally not enough. You got to shine, baby. It's shea butter, baby. And coconut oil. Well, when we were growing up, it was not shea butter or coconut really, oil. It was cocoa butter. It was a cocoa butter stick, and I would just take it, and I would just
was going crazy with that cocoa butter.
I was going crazy with the cocoa because it smelled good.
It did smell really good. It was the yellow stick.
It was the yellow, mm-hmm. the cocoa butter yellow
they
stick.
They had the white stick, too.
Or the Palmer's, the white Palmer stick. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. But I think it all goes back to, like, self-care, and I feel like when somebody cares about themselves, it signifies that they love themselves. And we already know that you can't love anybody else until you love yourself. So I think that it's important that you are with somebody who takes care of their hygiene. There are, like, a couple of different facets of self-care, including hygiene, you know, including what else? What are some of the other things? Emotional, physical, psychological, spiritual. Like,
absolutely.
These things are extremely important. So, you know, don't settle for less.
Don't do it. And you know what? That's why I'm glad we got our girl India here, because she gonna tell us about self-care. She gonna tell us about getting it together. Okay? She got the potions. Okay? She gonna tell us about the lotions, the potions.
She got the lotions and the potions.
India, tell these people, tell them how you feel, India. I'm gonna give you the floor real quick. Let them know who you are and what you got in your back pocket.
I am an herbalist and currently in class to be a yoga teacher. So yes. I'm about to get everybody together all around. But
I'm gonna be up in there.
Please.
I'm going to be up in there. You already know I'm going to be up in there.
I got my sound healing stuff. I just got so many ideas what I can do with it. But I will say wellness is very important. I just started working out consistently. I haven't, but since for the past, well, since December, I've been getting up at 3 a.m. to go work out at 4 a.m. And that definitely affects your mood, how your day is going to start. I didn't do workout on Friday. And let me tell you, I was pissed the entire day. I went to sleep at 8 o'clock. I was so pissed. Had me a drink. But it just gets your emotions moving. You don't want stuff to sit in and settle. What else? Let's talk about eating, because we got another I don't know what you eat, Rob. No judgment here, but
I am in the pescatarian world, but I'm aspiring vegan. I do want to get there within the next, I would say, 4 years. I want to be particularly raw vegan, actually, not just vegan.
Me too. Take it a step at a time, because I'm still pescatarian at the moment as well. It's definitely hard. I say cut one thing out at a time if you're going to start that way. But what you eat affects your mood, your energy level. We don't know all these preservatives and artificial flavors and natural flavor. And just because it says natural flavor does not mean it's natural. Because if I told y'all that natural flavors was aborted fetus cells, you would die.
You said aborted.
Aborted. Yep, she said that. Fetal cells. She said that. But yes, so what you eat, if you don't know, your gut is really like your second brain, but probably your first one. That's why whenever you're nervous, whenever you're like, my intuition, your gut knows before your brain does. And that's because it's basically like a second brain. They're connected. So what you eat and all that affects it. These potions that are coming, I'm making some new tinctures. So I did have capsules that worked with a lot of stuff like anxiety, stuff for your immune system, diabetes, all that. They'll be coming in tincture form. One tinctures last up to 10 years. So that's way longer than capsules, but also they get into your bloodstream faster, which will help you out faster, change your mood, whatever you need. As far as like, I don't want to say disease wise, but what you're taking it for, to help you. If you have any specific questions, I'm just rambling at the moment.
Tell the people what the tinctures are, because some people don't know what tinctures are.
Okay, so tinctures are, they're made with three things. They're either made with like a vinegar, a vegetable glycerin, which is like a syrup, or alcohol, which alcohol is the best because it's stronger. It'll get to your bloodstream faster. It extracts the nutrients or the minerals, whatever the herb offers, better, and it makes it stronger. So, but I'll be doing a mix of all of them, but it just gets to your bloodstream faster, which I think people want. Like if you're having a panic attack and you need to take something for anxiety in like 2 seconds, you're about to feel it.
So what kind of sent you down the natural herb route? Like what was your incentive to kind of like, because I mean, modern medicine, I know I grew up, my mom is like a big believer in like, something's wrong with you, go to the doctor, you need to get some meds, let's get some antibiotics, you know? So that's kind of how I grew up. And it wasn't until, you know, I went vegan and actually started buying a lot of your products and talking to you a lot, where I realized that there are some alternative methods.
Yes. So it started the same way yours did, changing my diet, which causes you to watch all these documentaries, What the Health. And then from there, you learn it's not only the food, like a lot of the food companies are owned by the same people who own the pharmaceutical companies. And looking at that, it was just showing like how the Western medicine was doing more harm because they're adding or using all these ingredients that we don't need. If you don't know, most of our food ingredients are banned in other countries like the UK. I just watched a video of a lady who just moved to Germany, I think like December 20 something. And she said she lost 12 pounds already. Now she's still eating the same like processed food as us, but they have like 5 ingredients and we got 30 that we don't need. So pretty much just getting into documentaries, changing my health. I was taking natural herbs that other people sold. And then I was getting so many questions because I was sharing like, hey, y'all need to be taking this. Like my natural herb lady hooked me up. And people started asking me like, where you get it? What do you do? And I'm like, oh, maybe I should get into it. So I studied and became a certified herbalist. And it's actually really fun just to put like herbs together myself and see like what it do. Like, I really helped this person. I really cleared that up. Yeah. But pretty much just from going vegan.
That's some good information. I recently started like being interested in like using herbs and things like that for anxiety and just like headaches and like sinuses and stuff like that. So I will definitely be a customer because I need some shit.
Oh, please. I will gladly
send them all. I got you.
Look, wasn't posting my business all last year.
Especially during a panda roaming. Like,
this fucking Panda Express. I'm trying to get my
over it.
Yeah. Okay. We're all over it. And I think that it's important to remain vigilant, though. That's one of the reasons why I want to talk about, like, what are your main preventative herbs as far as things that are going to help boost your immune system? Because we were talking on the last episode about just a lot of different things, the vaccine, we were talking about the CDC, yada, yada, yada. But there are also a lot of things that they're not talking about that, you know, can help you with preventative measures before you would even get sick. And that's going to give your immune system like a boost. So what are your favorite things right now?
You know, I love me some elderberry. Rose hip is really good. Ginger. Definitely find a heavy metal detox because whether you know it or not, it's coming from your food, your water, and those chemtrails up in the sky. spirulina is really good. It's one of the oldest like fungi that the earth produced. So I would definitely take that and colloidal silver. It's a it kills bacteria and infections from the inside. So I would definitely be taking that.
Real quick, because we already, y'all don't know, but India is like a little bit of like a conspiracy theorist. And I actually, but the thing is, it's like I dabble because I definitely don't think that everything that we see is reality. You know, we definitely are in and out of the matrix vibes. But for those of you who don't know, what are chemtrails? Because you mentioned those, but I know people are going to be like, what are those?
So all those little lines that come from planes that you think is just like fuel or air or something from the plane moving, those planes actually contain just like you know, like what oxygen tanks look like. It's just a plane full of those that's shooting out that stuff. So that stuff actually has like blood in it, like stuff from animals, metals, aluminum, like stuff we should not be inhaling. And if you ever notice, they spread open to look like clouds, which I haven't really confirmed this yet, but it blocks out the sun. Like you don't have a blue sky. You just have a gray day, which everybody knows melanin people need the sun. But yeah, so it's just producing fake clouds and just giving us toxins that we don't need to be inhaling, which that stuff has been shown, like proven, like how the military would just shoot over certain areas to test like what happens to the people over a span of 5 to 10 years. And it's like,
that's some bullshit.
What are y'all doing?
But I do believe that they be testing out a whole bunch of, look, let's not forget the Tuskegee experiment, y'all. Let's not forget that, because I feel like a lot of Black people won't get the vaccine just off of like the PTSD from the Tuskegee experiments, you know? They were testing a lot of shit on Black people. We already know that they love to go to Africa and test shit on Black people there. So there is a whole bunch of trust that I feel like is not there with the government, you know, and it's definitely spreading. So
But a lot of people argument is like, where you don't know what was in the vaccines you got when you was a kid. And it's like, exactly. And you don't know how that is affecting you to this day. You think eczema is coming from genes, and it's coming from what all of y'all was shot up with. So I don't know. I feel like people should make what's the best decision for them. I will not be getting the vaccine. The CDC is not consistent. I don't understand how you can go from 14 days to 5 days to, if you're vaccinated, you still have to come in if it's positive. Because that's what they're saying.
Rock, paper, scissors. At this point, it's like rock, paper, scissors.
My mom's job and another lady that I work out with both said their job said, like, if you're fully vaccinated and your tests come positive, you still come to work now. It's not adding up.
The math don't math.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying last week, like on the episode that we released last week. Like, it's, there's a lot of confusion in the air. So you have to do what's best for you, which is why I'm like, you know what? Let's talk about things that we can control. And that is, you know, those are things that we put into our bodies on a daily basis that can help us fight diseases in general, not just COVID. We're talking about cancer. We're talking about, you know, a lot of different ailments. And we're talking about these quote unquote, like, generational or hereditary diseases that aren't necessarily that. They are just habits of how we eat, our eating habits and our, you know, our lifestyle habits that we're passing on from generation to generation. And that's really what it is.
Yeah, exactly. That is.
Word. That's what. So could you, for those of our homies that's listening, how would you advise someone who is trying to get into a more herbal lifestyle? Like, where do they go for information? What should they start with? Is there anything dangerous that they should avoid?
Pretty much all herbs are safe. If you're pregnant, definitely don't take anything your first trimester and consult with your doctor. Still, I mean, most doctors will probably try and be like, don't take it because they have to sell Western medicine.
So when I was in nursing school, I learned that. I'm gonna tell y'all straight out. Doctor, so like you said, the FDA is the Food and Drug Administration, so they work hand in hand. For doctors, they are sponsored by certain medical organizations that are like medicine conglomerates. Every hospital has an affiliate, and that's how they determine what stock drugs they provide. So in in nursing school, we learned the difference between nursing and medicine. Studying medicine is that studying medicine. Studying nursing is nursing the body to health, prior to preferably avoiding medical intervention. But the study of medicine is using medical intervention. So most doctors know, if you ask, they'll tell you. But almost all doctors are prohibited in providing information that would steer you against a medical decision. So if you go in there and you ask, because I've when I found that out, I was like, first of all, I told my own provider that I prefer nurse practitioners instead of physicians because I've trusted that they were a little bit more genuine. But I've started asking, like, I'll be like, oh, well, there's this herb, because they have to know drugs are actually made out of a lot of herbs. It's just a lot of other stuff that are in those things. But they, as a doctor, they do have to know the contraindications or something, which is basically two things that don't work together. So that's why they have to know how your diet affects it, any other herbs that you might be taking. They have to know that information. But a lot of them don't teach. It's really hard for them to teach nutrition because they're not taught. We're not supposed to necessarily advise from a medical perspective. You can advise a healthier lifestyle, but you can't go Dr. Sebi and give healthy lifestyle instructions to avoid the need for medication in the first place.
Because you're going to go missing.
But they also, they I don't want to say they get paid like a quote unquote commission, but that's the thing that they look for.
About to say they do. Actually, I forgot where I seen this. Like pediatricians get a certain amount of money for having a certain amount of extra money, like a bonus for having a certain amount, of prescriptions. Vaccinated.
Yep. They do get, they get, they're tracking their prescriptions. And that's unfortunately a lot of healthcare systems get tracked in actions that have been taken that are recordable and billable. But I don't think that that's how it should be. I feel like that's unfortunate. But the thing about it is, if you go to your doctor with these things and you ask questions, they will tell you. They will give you that. They're not going to, they can't lie to you. And if they don't know, they're going to tell you where to get the information. But they know this information. They know about St. John's Wort. They know about mugwort. They know about lavender. They know about these things, but they just can't tell you, hey, you should try this, because one, it's not within their practice, their scope of practice. And then two, their medical scope of practice is like, if you happen to try that and it backfires, they are liable, because when it comes to those natural herbs, there aren't a lot of tested and clinical records of it. It's more so like folklore and passed down through heritage. So they can't guarantee a result, but the medication is something that they can actually quantify and measure. But if you ask them, they definitely will tell you.
Yeah, they will. And I want to put y'all up on game real quick, because the show that I watched on Hulu, Dope Sick, about the rise and fall of OxyContin, they revealed that a lot of the people who work for the FDA, once they retire from the FDA, they get these guaranteed jobs at these like big pharmaceutical companies. So they know how to write in loopholes for the drugs that they are distributing that may not actually be all that safe. They know all of the loopholes and all of the FDA guidelines that they can get around to push these particular pharmaceuticals and these particular drugs. So I thought that was kind of like an interesting thing that I found out, like, oh shit, this whole thing is like a conspiracy for real. Like, can't trust it. What you got to say, India?
What you got over there?
They all working together.
They all in cahoots. They in cahoots. They all in cahoots.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that tidbit, guys. Please make sure that y'all are linking up. We're going to drop India's socials in the description. If you have any websites or any information, let us know. We'll put that in the description. But make sure that y'all are going over there and getting y'all mind right, okay? Please. Get it together. Together. Don't let 2023 come in and you ain't looking together. 2023 is the Jordan year. We got a game on for that. We got to break records next year.
Matter if it's a cousin variant out there, because these variants are popping out.
Next thing you know, it's gonna be a little Fizz variant.
The Alicia Keys variant.
Then the Corona and the flu just combined.
The Chris Stokes variant.
Oh, we don't want that one. Okay, we don't want Chris Stokes. Right. That's why I was like, we don't want Chris Stokes. We heard some shit about him. But exactly. Real quick, India, drop your website so that everybody can go and buy your products.
Let's go.
The website is www.morelife.love. There is no .com, just .love. Instagram is More Life by India.
Yes. Holla.
We love to see it. Y'all hop on there. She has some great things. She has a variety. She has capsules. She has things for your skin. Like, we absolutely love it. And I be on the skin tip.
She's gonna be the model for the company. She on the website. She giving y'all tips on how to use stuff.
If y'all are trying to get y'all natural on, this website is a great place to start. And there's a lot of good information on there if you just kind of want to check it out.
Yes. Oh, I'm actually on the website now. She actually has a section for men and a section for women. That's really nice.
It's coming soon, though. And that don't drop till Friday.
Ooh. No, I got the exclusive.
By the time these people hear this episode, they're going
to my website. And I'm like, oh, it's showing them already the things.
But by the time the episode drops, it'll actually be out. So go ahead and plug your men's line real quick. Go ahead and plug your men's line.
The men's, I'm coming with a daily multivitamin supplement. It's called I'm Good Love. And so y'all feel like y'all doing something and really ain't taking no medicine. But is good for your libido, your prostate. For my guys who work out and exercise, it's good for stress. It'll have something in there, like specifically for
you guys. Y'all better go out there and get that libido and the prostate, because don't nobody. There's so many dudes that don't want that exam. You don't want that exam. You better take whatever India said. You better.
But yes, I'm so excited about that, because I've been trying to like personalize stuff specifically for gender roles. So,
and I love that you have like these powders too. Things, it's just so many different forms. Like I can get the tincture, I can get the powders.
Yeah,
I can do like all of these. You have syrups and tonics, and you have capsules. So it's dope. Like you can really just kind of do whatever your lifestyle is. There's something here for you to consume that within that lifestyle. So we definitely will be following up with you, because I need to get my life right. I'm not playing with 2023. I'm trying to get right. I'm trying to go to Coachella. I'm trying to get out here in these streets. Okay.
You like already ocean. Done bypassed 2022. You said fuck 2022.
2022 is prep work. This is practice. You crazy? I'm ready.
Put on the Jordan.
Yeah, this is practice. Y'all remember that time where Iverson was on that interview? He was like, y'all want to talk about practice? That's what this year is. This year is practice. This is Jordan year practice. So
I like that. I like that. That's a new mantra. This year is just practice.
This is just practice.
I like that.
Okay, well, thank you so much, India. All of that information was very helpful. Y'all better go over there to that website. Don't play with me. And if they don't, let me know, because I'm pulling up. That is all the time that we have for today, though. So we're going to jump into our sex segment at the start of part two. So once you finish listening to this episode, go to the playlist and listen to number two, because that's where we're going to get down and dirty. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram, The Bridge Millennial Podcast. We out here in these streets. I am Rob. You can follow me at Just Rob's World. We got Shannon in the building.
You can follow me on Instagram as @Shannon_Ashleah, and on Twitter as @ShannonAshleah.
I know, that's right. And India, where can the people find you at?
You can find me. My personal page is A Free Soul Yo, and my business page is More Life by India.
That's what's up. And make sure that y'all stay tuned, because she will be back for part two when we start talking about the nasty.
All right, y'all. Bye. Later.